We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Yordan Alvarez just hit his second home run of the game today.
Are you kidding me?
His exit velocity is 114 miles an hour in the third inning, 115 miles an hour off the bat.
That exit velocity, yeah, that, there.
If exit speed means anything, I mean, he is at the top of the world in exit speed.
I'm just saying that the result.
Just some of them exit and over the fence.
Sometimes there's exit velocity that goes right to a first base. His damn exit velocities are going over the damn fences. When you said, man, God, his exit velocity is 114 point. Like, to me, like, I didn't go, oh, damn.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, welcome in. Tyler calls his number again, and man, that doesn't sound any better every time I hear it. I really do apologize. I just stood up like a little kid, pulled my pants all the way down to my ankles, and peed all over that exciting stat that Tyler came rolling through. God, I'm sorry, man. I apologize.
I mean, exit velocity is kind of a big deal.
You're right.
Especially when your team has the number one in the game at the moment.
I still stand by.
I mean, you
my lack of,
you poo-pooed all over.
Oh, I still stand by the poo-pooing of it.
I stand by the poo-pooing that I did.
In my opinion of it.
Wow, dude.
I just think the way that I did it, I probably could have just laid out and let him add that. But, you know, I like to. I sometimes just say what the hell I'm thinking right then and there.
Not
don't
fair.
Grab it.
Hell.
Don't grab it. By the way, I told you. I'm trying to turn the corner on this A&M situation I have. And I wore maroon. I wore, basically, this is Jimbo on the sideline. I had a Nike, little Nike maroon polo.
Read it off sliced bread.
That's right. And I'm starting it right here, Tyler. Look, I'm just not allowing that to get me.
It looks good on you, man.
Thank you.
I mean, maroon looks good on most people, but it looks really good on you. Really good.
Maroon money, baby.
Yeah,
maroon money, baby.
Yep, I'm doing it, though. I'm doing it.
Looking sharp.
I feel good, man. A lot to get to today, including your final day today to win a pair of those tickets to see Garth Brooks August 6th. So you better be listening in the 5 o'clock hour. That's your final opportunity to win those two tickets today. Cap, your ass better get on it. Linda, you better be on it. Whoever else is out there.
Gosh damn it, man.
You better be on it. You can join Ashley and Justin, who will be there as well. So your last opportunity today in the 5 o'clock hour. And the draft is tonight. Sports Radio 610, big time special with Landry Locker and Adam Spolane.
I'm so excited!
We'll have the guy who put together the Phoenix Suns, although they failed miserably in the playoffs this year. He put them together as one of the best young teams, Ryan McDonough. He'll join us.
Keep an eye on that, Ronnie.
And he knows. I'm going to get him to tell us who the hell they're going to pick. Right? There have been a lot of, but he knows. I believe he's got an inside scoop. But Clint, this is a series that we've been waiting for a long time. The Yankees and the Astros. The Yankees are here, and the Astros have a 4-game set. This is one of my favorite songs right here. All of their best starters are pitching in this series. It kicks off with Framber Valdez tonight. This was Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker said this, talking about the Astros in big games, and these are the biggest games they've played all season.
My team responds to, you know, big games. And, you know, that's what it tells me. I mean, these guys, you know, they just play. And they play effectively. Seem like the bigger the game, the better that they play in. And concentrate. We know this is going to be a tough series, and and it was, and we came out on top.
All right, they just played the Mets and took them out two games, and then a little two-game series, and now they got the Yankees for four, Clint. This is a big game, and the Astros have stepped up in big games. This is a little different group, but it'll be great to see this test coming up.
Yeah. Look, I had some good conversations last night with my crew around a dinner table with about the Astros, and I think we got a couple guys in the group, man. A couple of guys in the group go, yeah, the Mets are doing good over National League, but let's be honest,
they're still skeptical.
No, not skeptical, but just like almost minimizing that Mets the two game stretch that they just beat the Mets, almost minimizing that and say, look, really what this is about is the Yankees. I'm not there. That was the Mets are a really good baseball team, really good hitting baseball team for damn sure at this point with where they're at. That was impressive by the Astros, but you know, a lot of my crew thinks, hey man, hell with the Mets, this Yankees is going to tell us what's up. So I'm not there yet to just dismiss the Mets, but I think all in all, a four-game stretch against the Yankees is a little bigger than the two-game stretch they started this run with versus the Mets. So we'll see, man. Big game. And like I said, I think the most intriguing two things about this series is what you said. It's four games. The Yankees are going to face the top four Astros pitchers right now.
Yep.
Javier's the only one in the starting rotation right now that's not going to get a shot at the Yankees in this four-game stretch. So they're going to see the best starters that the Astros have. And then secondly, you know, can Alex Bregman continue trending in the right direction? Was that a two-game flash?
Actually, Javier is pitching in this series. He's going to face Gerrit Cole. Christian Javier and Gerrit Cole in the third game.
The representative
of himself?
Oh,
he's in. Really?
Yeah, their best three guys. Their next three starts. So his own. Framber, Verlander, and Christian Javier.
That's right.
This is like the starting thing.
He's only going once in the nine-game stretch. Javier's in it. Okay, gotcha.
This is the one against Gerrit Cole.
Perfect. I mean, either way it goes, they're going to see the Yankees are going to see four starters that should give the Astros a shot.
You've had very, very fair skepticism about the rotation, because that has been the strongest part of the Astros team right now. The Astros have, I don't know, is it still 10 games? I would think 10, 11 game.
You mean leading the division?
Lead, yeah. And the reason why they've done that and had the second best record in the American League, or at least the second best in terms of divisions, is their starting pitching. Their starting pitching has been dominant. Verlander, for most of the year, has been Cy Young worthy. Framber Valdez, who's going tonight, has had a run there, 7-8 straight starts of quality starts. That's been the thing. But you have said, hey, man, they've been running into these sorry teams. These sorry teams are these teams that aren't teams that you feel like are going to be there in October. And that's been very, very fair, and you want to see them. Well, I think James Click should be watching this too. And I think we had a texter earlier this week send in what he thinks these nine-game stretch will be about, is to see what the Astros need at the trade deadline. And I think this run of three starts right now, because Lance McCullers, as we said, is a luxury. You cannot depend on Lance. Right now, you got to just act as if Lance is not there. Your three, I think, best starters, potentially, arguably, Verlander, Framber, Javier, they go in the next three games. This would be a good sign James Click can watch and think, all right, this is the test offensively in the league. If I see these guys pitch pretty well against this crew, maybe I don't need to go nuts and go get a top starter. Maybe I can add somewhere else, and I feel much better about our guys against the top competition in the league.
For me, your entire point, I think, it's spot on, but I think it is nail on the head, son, when we're talking about Javier.
Yeah.
We've talked about Javier and the growing pains that I think all young pitchers experience. Boy, if he's gone through a couple of ups and downs this season, he's shown some really good, he struggled at times. If he comes together against the Yankees, you say he's got the third game in this series against the Yankees?
Against Gerrit Cole.
If he comes in this series versus the Yankees and lights it up, that'd be a big, big moment in that young fella's career. And could you're talking about a confidence booster. I don't know that he has any confidence issues, but I know the most confident guys, when you go out there and you perform in a big way when the stage is the brightest. It takes your confidence to the next level. So either way it goes, I would think it's a monster run here for Christian Javier. And I think if Christian Javier lights it up, because we know Fromber and Verlander are going to be there, right?
You feel good.
We know they're going to be there down the stretch. If Christian Javier lights it up against the Yankees, and all of a sudden we get a pretty good feeling about Javier as a potential starter in this line, in this rotation.
You've shook off the Fromber from.
Oh no, I ain't shook nothing off. He's just the one that I have. I mean, it don't matter what happens with this rotation. It doesn't matter what he did last year.
He'll be in the top.
He's going to be in it. I think Urquidy. I think Luis Garcia. I think Jake Odorizzi. I think Christian Javier. I think all of those guys are in the same box of. Okay, who ends up getting the final two spots when Lance comes back?
But the thing is, Tyler, like, as we said, Lance is a luxury. You almost got to pretend like mm-hmm. he's not there. Right now, it feels like Fromber is a legit two, right? Like, right now, the way he's pitching, you feel there could be a sense of change that if he comes out here against this Yankees team and two starts has his struggles, because that's the team you got to go through. Does he
get the Yankees twice or does he get the Mets once? Because Verlander gets the Yankees twice.
Verlander gets them twice.
Like that.
At least what I saw on.
Yeah, we'll have to look.
I mean, I saw on ESPN. I don't know how fluid that
if
is.
If Verlander gets him twice, I'm just thinking he's pitching ahead of Verlander. I'm wondering, does he run into that? Have to take a look at how the matchups come up with him. But we know he'll face him once. I'm just saying he could lead you to a point to say, all right, man, maybe I really need to get a two. Like, you know, maybe Verlander is my ace, but do I need to get stronger behind him? Does Fromber is – because right now he feels like if he's pitching game two, you feel pretty good as anybody else in the league with your two. Do you feel like, all right, I got to stack this thing? I got to really stack this thing. That'll be interesting to see. Verlander, you feel pretty good about him as he pitches tomorrow, but it's one in games three. With Fromber and Christian Javier, that'll be the interesting piece there. All right, like I said, a lot to get to. Make sure you're listening. Make sure you're listening in the 5 o'clock hour. That's right. Garth Brooks Stadium Tour continues, and not only continues, he is ending it here in Houston. That is the last show of the Stadium Tour.
Your last opportunity, baby.
That's right. NRG, August 6th. If you're like Clint's mom, bucket list, never seen Garth Brooks live, you better get on the horn and have your chance to win a pair of those tickets today. The final opportunity coming up.
Perk your ears up.
5 o'clock hour.
Perk your ears up. Get ready for that first note of Friends in Low Places, and then have a 713-572-4610 on speed dial, or you ain't got a chance.
That's right.
Have your ears on. Have your best set of ears on. And have the number set on speed dial.
You're listening, Cap?
Yeah, well, I don't know if Cap.
Don't blame me, Cap.
He's not going to win.
Dial faster.
He's not going to win.
He's splitting wigs yesterday, T. He better win today, man.
He's not going to. I can feel it. I mean, the odds are just
Larry and Stafford really wants to win as well.
Does he?
I ain't even seen his name pop up.
Yeah, he called in and told us. He's pumped. He's been trying. He's ready. He wants it.
And Larry, hit me up. What's your outfit to the Garth Brooks concert?
I think he's going to wear a black felt cowboy hat.
You think he got cowboy boots?
In August?
Yeah.
A felt cowboy hat?
I mean, I know
August,
that's typically
gonna,
that's a winner.
Burn your head to
I know.
Death,
but I think Larry's doing it.
Well, I'm going to suggest.
Now Tyler's got to stick to that.
I'm going to suggest that Larry get a straw. I mean,
yeah.
What is Larry's outfit? You think he's
Larry's
got cowboy boots?
Larry's a bigger fella. You throw a felt hat in the middle in Texas heat in August on big fella Larry, your ass is going to be in trouble.
He'll be sweating like Fromber.
And he's high energy, passionate guy. With Garth, hell, he'll be able to pass out at halftime. They better get you a straw, cuz.
Coming up, the latest on what we're hearing about where the Rockets could go, hearing a firm belief on who they will pick. And, Clint, you need to get one of your boys for the Texans. Somebody has lost their damn mind. We'll discuss that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, a big night tonight, right? A big night at Minute Maid. A big night as well for the Houston Rockets over at the Toyota Center. Rafael Stone, Tillman Fertitta, and the gang there, they got a big night. And Adrian Wojnarowski, the guy who is as on it as anybody in media, especially when it comes to the NBA, when he says it, when he drops a Woj bomb, it's generally basketball gospel. And Clint and Tyler and everybody listening, this is his post from earlier this morning. As team boards finalize today, the 1-2-3 of the NBA draft is increasingly becoming firm. Per sources, Jabari Smith, the forward out of Auburn, to Orlando. Chet Holmgren, the forward center out of Gonzaga, to Oklahoma City. And Paolo Banchero, the forward, 6'10", 250, to Houston. And when Woj says that, this isn't just Woj's guess or opinion. This is a pretty good estimated guess. I'd say he has gotten pretty good word. And to me, I look at that, when I hear that from him, that looks like that's probably going to be it, that Paolo Banchero is going to be the next Houston Rockets.
They ain't getting me, show. After this year's NFL draft, with all that, we thought these guys were going to go in these certain orders, and then you and I are sitting there doing a show at the Texans draft party, and boy, that's hot takes, man. We're getting word that the draft order top three is going to be these three guys, and it didn't look nothing like that by the end. And we had every scenario that somebody broke the news on. So I don't know what order that's going to fall in. I'm definitely a wait and see guy. As we're talking about the damn Rockets, I'm a wait and see guy. But I mean, everybody that I've talked to would be A-OK with that sequence right there.
Yeah, most people. We'll and I know you'll wait and see, so you'll be waiting and listening right here on Sports Radio 610 at 7 o'clock as Landry Locker and Adam Spolane. They have their NBA draft special tonight, so stay tuned for that. They'll be breaking down whoever the pick is, which will be Paolo Banchero, whoever the pick is. And I happen to think, as somebody who watches – I would guess more college basketball than anybody at the station. I would say he is, to me, the guy that I would pick for the Rockets. I think he is the most NBA ready guy. I think his game translates, and I've been saying this, the best out of all of them. Some of his flaws, and it'll be interesting. We got Ryan McDonough coming up here about an hour from now. It'll be good to hear from him on what he thinks his flaws are. But this kid is 6'10", 250, and already has, to me, like one of the top things you look for is, can you go get a bucket when we need you to go get a bucket? Can you go get a bucket in a bunch of different ways? Can you go get a bucket over somebody who's trying to stop you? He has already shown to have that potential already at Duke. He can score in a bunch of different ways, great size, can shoot the three, can shoot a pull-up. Can take you and face you up one-on-one, can post you up. I think he is a perfect fit here and would be a really, really good running mate with Jalen Green. I like Banchero. I know some out there really, like I've talked to Brandon Scott, he is a really big Jabari Smith guy. That's fine. I really do like that kid and the size and his offensive game. I mean, a lot of these guys suck defensively, right? That's something you hope to coach you better. I mean, sure, Steph never got any better at it, but but it doesn't matter, right? Yeah. Like he's so big on the other side. I like this move.
The only one that scares me is the Chet Holmgren kid.
What's the thing that scares you about him?
Well, I mean, because you're betting on the come in terms of his body. You're betting on him maturing and developing to a point where he can put on whatever weight, whatever muscle necessary to compete in at the NBA level. Everybody that I've heard that's in the know believes that he's got to develop physically as he works his way into an NBA caliber player. So that's the only part that scares me is when a guy's that thin, Does he have? Because I've seen guys in my experience is obviously in football, but you see guys that are drafted for a certain, you know, because of a certain skill set, but you know physically they have to change some things in order to be able to compete, just physically compete, and it not happen. So that's the only one in the bunch that makes me nervous if the Rockets are to go the Chet Holmgren route if they are given the opportunity.
Yeah, a lot of people love his ceiling, which you can see, and the people they compare him to. Or try to compare him to, like, even if he puts on the weight, I just don't see him getting there. Like, they've tried, like, the Giannis thing. Like, oh, go look at Giannis when he was first drafted. Okay. Like if he can put on the weight that Giannis did, and Giannis wasn't that thin, by the way, but if he can put on the weight that Giannis did, I'd be shocked. And then the Kevin Durant stuff is ridiculous. That's just silliness. He just doesn't have that type of game. But. It'll be interesting to see what the Rockets do tonight. I hear you. You're waiting and seeing. I think Paul Banchero is going to be the pick. Start getting used to that. You know, if he goes ahead of that, then I'd be shocked. So it looks like he'll be that guy. All right, coming up, our guy here, our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. He will join us coming up. And I know I'm about to hear it because we talked to him about Alex Bregman every week, and I think this time Tony gets to brag a little bit. Tony Gwynn coming up next.
Hit 300 with 30 and 100.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, welcome back, and here we go, Tony. Let's head to the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. As joining us is our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. All insider calls are brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car, go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. All right, we'll get into this turn Alex Bregman has had the last couple of games because I know you have said you ain't worried about him, and he has picked it up the last couple of games. But the Astros are facing their toughest test, and the best team in baseball right now, the New York Yankees. They got a four-game series to really see exactly where they are. I'm curious if you could share with our audience, what are the Yankees? What are their strengths? What has made them the best team in baseball?
Man, the two biggest things are their offense. Aaron Judge is healthy. Giancarlo's healthy. They are really being the big producers. You go out, you get a guy like Josh Donaldson. So their offense is legit, but I think the most surprising part is how fast the pitching has come along. Obviously, Cortez is having an all-star season. He's up in the conversation for early Cy Young. You got Gerrit Cole, who's obviously, Gerrit Cole, you guys have seen him up close and personal. Tyann, I mean, really, all of their starters have pitched well. They have that same type of bullpen they had a few years ago that was lights out. And so that combination with that kind of run support you put up makes them extremely dangerous.
Sounds like there's not too many weaknesses, and that's tough to beat. I want to look back. I want to look in the rearview mirror real quick just to get your take on it, T, is – when you look at the Astros two-game stretch versus the Mets had been putting up a ton of runs. You know, the Mets are the best team record-wise in the National League. They dipped those guys two games in a row. I mean, as an Astros fan, you know, what should we take from winning that two-game stretch versus the Mets?
I mean, listen, they're not at full strength. However, they have their offensive pieces in there, and I can say that's really more than the Padres can say because they didn't have to face Alonso and Marte. They ended up missing that series. They both got hurt in that series. But you guys saw at least their offense at full strength. And if you're an Astros fan, you should feel good about that. As you said, that's been the best team regardless of whether they've missed Max Scherzer and DeGrom. They still have been the best team in the National League. So that says a lot about how good they are. And I, as I said all year, I mean, the Astros, they're a good ball club. They're a well-managed ball club. And although some of the pieces are just starting to get going, this is a good ball club. You got, it's really start, it's been the same game for them the past 5-6 years now. So you should, if you're an Astros fan, you should feel great about that.
Joining us again, Tony Gwynn Jr., Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB Insider. He joins us on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. As we look at that Mets series, Tony, listen, we know Yordan Alvarez, he's insane. He's 3 home runs in the series. He's playing at an MVP-type level. But we talked about yesterday, the biggest thing was Alex Bregman. In that 2-game series, he's on base 5 or 6 times. He has a home run in the series. The power started to come back. He got walks in front of Alvarez that led to 2 run shots. That is big. His numbers still right now aren't great to look at, but man, he is coming along and he absolutely changes this team.
Well, listen, nobody has ever said that when the lights are at their brightest, you don't get the best Alex Bregman. I mean, we've seen that year in, year out in the playoffs. He plays his best baseball when the stage is at his biggest, and that doesn't necessarily. And again, I said he's. I think you look at his numbers; they're trending upwards. Last 7, last 15, things are moving in the right direction. But when you have that type of player, that's part of the reason you don't worry. Because even if he has a bad season, quote unquote, you can rest assured the team gets into the playoffs, he's going to be Alex Bregman. And so, I think most people will hang their hats on that all day long.
Well, what do you look at this 9-game stretch? Two games they're sewn up. Astros are sitting at 2-0 right now. 9-game stretch versus Mets and Yankees, back-to-back-to-back kind of deal. If you're an Astros fan and you finish 5-4, 6-3, where are you at in terms of – I feel pretty good about this Astros team if they can come out of the back end of this 9-game stretch sitting at what record?
5-4, and if – it's better than that, that's all icing at that point. These teams are all good. They're all pretty evenly matched. And so because of that, you know, I think it's too much to ask if they go 6-3, right? But they certainly could. But that would be a bonus. I think 5-4 against the Mets, who they've already taken 2 from, the Yankees on the road. They'll also have the Mets back on the road again. So, you know, I think that is 5-4 is the number.
Yeah. Would you say 7-2? Like that'd be kind of crazy. That'd be kind of crazy, right? To kind of predict that.
I mean, yes. Just quite simply, it's nuts to think 7-2. Yeah. But this is the Astros we're talking about. We've seen them pull off that type of feat time and time again. So I won't be surprised, but it's a little much to ask.
My thought, Tony, is Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us, our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB Insider. You've seen this Yankees team. You've seen this Astros team. Do you think the Astros, as they are currently constructed, are on the level of the Yankees?
Yeah, I think so. You got to remember, this is baseball, right? And, you know, you get into a series, certainly when teams are matched up against one another and it's not the everyday grind, I think these two teams do match up well. Certainly the Astros can pitch for them. I think there may be a slight edge to the Yankees offensively. But, you know, come playoff time, should these teams – both get in, and I think we all expect them to. You know, a lot of times it comes down to the bullpen, and teams are so evenly matched up that it also boils down to whoever makes the fewest mistakes. And so I think defensively, the Astros may have a better defensive team. So ultimately those things will shake themselves out, but I think they're on the same level.
Hey, T, off the baseball topic, man, I need a little career advice here, a little professional advice here, man.
Okay. I mean, T,
here's what I'm dealing with, man. We got a producer in here that, I mean, he went out to Scottsdale, Arizona. We've all been out there, man. We know how that can make you feel about yourself. You can get out there feeling real good about things, you know what I mean? and he was gone for about he was gone for about a week. Boy, he came back in the studio, man, and hell, that mic's hot all the time. He is, I mean, he is King Dingling in there now. And my man Show over here, since you and I first met him, hell, I think we met him about the same time several years ago, first time you came on. He done dropped 120 pounds. He's wearing white britches and brown and cognac shoes out and hanging out in swanky joints in Kansas City. And these two cats are feuding right now. And I'm stuck in the middle, man. How in the hell should I navigate this? How should I get this to come to a head so we can get beyond it?
Yeah, he's completely clean, Tony. He's completely clean. He does nothing.
What are we fusing about here, though?
Well, I think it's egos. The Aggies are in the mix there. I think there was exit velocity in the mix there as well. So, I mean, it's just a little of a cat fight here, man.
You know, you may just have to let them handle this on their own. You just bow out and kind of let them do their thing here. I mean, these adults here. You guys can't let this last too long now.
I think we're going to put them in a parking garage and not let them come out until one's left standing.
Well, Tony's Show is kind of an adult.
And see, Tony, I was about to handle this behind closed doors as families do, you know, but Tyler's delusional. By the way, Tyler's the one, book it, 7-2 in the stretch. That's who it was. That's who it was.
Hey, they're 2-0. They're 2-0 right now, boys.
You said he's nuts. Yeah, he's the one. I'm still, even though I'm going to take what Michelle Obama said, when they go low, I'm going to go high. I'm going to still handle this in pocket because he knows I'm going to handle him. He knows it. But no, we're good here. We're good here, Tony. We're good here.
7-2.
Yeah, I got away from. You can say it. What, homerish? Is that how that sounds? A little.
Very, very homerish.
Well, fellas, you see these pot shots. I'm dealing with 7-2 behind the glass and white britches and cognac shoes down 100 in here sitting next to me. I ain't got a damn chance.
Well, fellas.
And Tony, I looked good too, boy. I'm telling you, man, they couldn't touch me. They couldn't.
Fellas, I hate to point this out. Tony, you as well. Show Clint, you guys in there as well. Hate to point it out, but I am the same fella who told you guys the Angels were pretenders whenever y'all were saying they were contenders, they went on to lose 14 games straight.
I mean,
just want to point that little piece of information out there for you.
Now, you see what
with? Well, you know, you can't be the bearer of misinformation here because I certainly didn't say that they were for real.
You're right. It was mainly Show.
I said they were going to be around in the end. That's what I said. Now, yeah, you were right. Looks like they won't.
Hey, you two. T's got to go. This pissing match has to stop, boys.
Players mess up too, man. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Tyler is my daddy.
Okay.
All right. Said it one time, man. Just completely out of context. Tony, man, appreciate you joining us.
You guys have a good one.
All right, that is, and I'll kick your ass up. That is our Odyssey MLB Insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. All Insider calls are brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today to shop for more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. Tony Gwynn, completely, as he said to you, described Tyler as nuts, and I love that. I love that for Tony. Good for him. Good for Tony.
You teed it up for him. That was nice of you.
It's Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Tyler Milner producing this thing, going as well as he can, doing the best that he can, producing this thing. Clint, man, you need to holler at your boy.
Who's that?
Your boy who you have, like nobody, and I mean nobody, is riding the Pharaoh Brown train quite like Clint Sterner.
Yeah, I trust my eyes.
He trusts his eyes. Even what happened last year, he's still coming back. He's like, I'm not jumping off that train yet. Here's your boy yesterday. Via Cole Thompson of SportsIllustrated.com. You guys said the game has just slowed down, understanding all of the fine line details, Pharaoh Brown said. That's going to help me be an all-pro this year. They generally only vote one tight end as an all-pro. Travis Kelce has been that the last couple of years. I think George Kittle snuck in there one year as well. But Pharaoh Brown, says he says the game has slowed down and he believes it's going to help him to become an All-Pro this year.
Yeah, Pharaoh doesn't need this. I mean, look, I stand firm.
We got to have realistic goals around.
Well, I mean, look, it's okay to have I want to be the number one tight end in the NFL goals. It's another thing to voice them in a to a reporter with Sports Illustrated. To me, you know, that's the one thing with Pharaoh Brown that I think needs to happen is to nose down. The kid's got all the talent. The guy's got all the talent in the world, man. I mean, it truly. I've not met one person yet that's seen him play and practice in person and doesn't feel like he's got all the physical, the tangible assets to be a really, really, really good tight end in this league for a long time. Now you start hearing things like this, you know, you get concerned of where's this guy's headspace. You know, if that's just a goal and my goal is to be all pro. Again, you don't need to say it in an article, but I'm all set. I'm all good with having you know, setting your goals high. Now, if you think that's who you are, is an all-pro tight end that should be treated as an all-pro tight end and respected as an all-pro tight end, then you got problems. So I would advise that Pharaoh Brown just stay completely away from comments like that because there's no context and people can take him and run. I don't know him personally from this perspective, so I don't know exactly what he means, but I don't believe that Pharaoh Brown needs these kind of comments in his life at this point.
I love the confidence, but man, like Pharaoh's not, there are kind of stages, right? And like, you got to get to a point where you have to be somewhere to go to that level, especially to be voicing it. Like, I feel like Pharaoh is still on, let me make sure that I'm going to be on football teams. Am I the best tight end on the team?
I mean, if we're talking about what I would like to hear from Pharaoh Brown at this point is, you know, the game has slowed down, understanding all the fine line details, being more disciplined, allowing me to play and react and not think so much, where I got in trouble last year, was thinking too much, and the pre-snap penalties, I got to be better. And ultimately, this is all going to help me be a better pro moving forward, not like eliminate the all word out of there. Like, it's going to help me be a pro this year and do things, advance and progress in the right direction as a professional football player kind of thing. That's more of what I would like to hear from Pharaoh Brown. I think Nick Caserio would like to hear more of that from Pharaoh Brown. I think Lovie Smith would like to hear more of that from Pharaoh Brown. I'll be honest with you. Like, I've never met a coach or a general manager at a college level or the pro level that has a player that is very talented, very gifted, but for whatever reason has not yet been able to play at a high level for one season, talk about being a Pro Bowler and All-Pro. I've never met a coach that was like, yeah, that's good. I want my players thinking like that. I never met one.
To get to a point of what you're saying, Pharaoh Brown set career highs last year with 23 catches for 171 yards.
Right. I've never met a coach. I never met a coach that had a tight end or a receiver, anybody that their career highs were 23 catches, 171 yards. I've never met a coach where those stats were what the player had done so far, liked to and wanted to hear from that player about they were going to be all SEC or they were going to be all American or they were going to be all pro. That isn't received well for the most part.
Realistically, Clint, do you think he is more productive than Brevin Jordan this year?
I think he very well could be. I mean, you're talking about you got to define more productive. When we're talking about tight ends, this is a guy. I'll put it to you this way. I believe that if the stars align for Pharaoh Brown, let me put it to you that way. I don't know if they will or not, but talent wise, this guy could be significantly more valuable to the Texans organization than Brevin Jordan. Yes. Now, who do I think is going to go out there and be given the opportunity and make more plays that we all see on a consistent catches and yards and touchdowns? Brevin Jordan. But ultimately, if Pharaoh Brown can ever get his production in line with his potential, then you're going to have a 10-year starter in this league. You're going to have a three-down, four-down tight end that can do it all, and he's going to get paid handsomely. And he's going to be well known if the production can ever line up with the potential, the intangible physical skill set that he has. Big if. A lot of guys never make it, but that's how good he is physically.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see if he's, like I said, I look at it, the Brevin Jordan situation. Man, are you going to be the best tight end on your team?
Yeah, that's like where his mindset should be.
Like, right, to me, like, I've got to clearly make myself be the number one option at tight end, and I'm not sure if he is. And judging what we saw in OTAs and what we saw in mandatory minicamp, Clint, it appears that they are putting a focus on Brevin Jordan, that they are putting a focus on getting him involved in a major way and giving an uptick to his potential production. So we'll see. Farrell Brown, love the confidence. But, man, you got to have realistic. You can't come off of 23 catches, 171 yards, jumping off sides all the time season, and let's rock and roll to all pro. Come on, man. Like, let's be there and make sense, do things that make sense. All right, coming up, big news out of college football. A big decision was made. And one team in the great state of Texas is shouting, jumping up and down, and celebrating like their whole program's been changed. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.